Now let's do some serious things now on employment. Graeme Wynn's our superior people recruitment expert. He's on the line now. G'day, Graeme.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Well, indeed, this is my last show filling in for Luke. Leroy's getting the boot as well. Leroy has a question because he actually has the job seeker payment coming
up. That's it. The claim got verified during the week.
Excellent.
So obviously I'll be reporting my hours now. I'll be reporting hours for the past fortnight, which I have been working.
Call it working?
Well, okay. Turning up. What's the limit of the hours before, like, obviously I won't receive a payment from the government that you report?
Basically, it works on the dollar value. So it's not a question of how many hours you're working. It's how much your earning capacity is.
Yep.
So as long as you're earning capacity under a certain level, then you'll get that job seeker allowance. If you earn only a small amount, it could be a pro rata amount you get. So basically, that's the way it'll work. So not the hours you work, it's how much money you're earning that you'll need to report. But normally, of course, with the job seeker allowance, you have to attend Centrelink and be applying for jobs every, you know, 10 a week applying for those jobs. You don't have to at the moment. They're not even doing asset testing or asking you to turn up or apply for jobs. It's simply, boom, you're registered, there's your payment. So they're making it a lot easier for people at the moment, yes.
So if I've earned too much over the last fortnight, I won't receive a payment for this period from Centrelink, but obviously if I don't earn anything in the next 2 weeks, then I will.
Correct. And what they're looking at the job seeker payment is how much money also is in your bank account to start with. So when you would have registered, it would have said how much money is in your account on a certain date. And as long as that was under their threshold, then you'd be getting it straight away.
Thank you.
Right. Are you thinking of going home now or something? You can't. You have to stay here.
Pull the
Keep
pin
working.
Early.
Keep working. Yeah. If you have a question for Graeme, please get on the phone now. 133353. Now, Graeme, the unemployment figures came out for March. It showed an increase from 5.1% to 5.2%, but that was just ancient history. It's completely meaningless now, isn't it?
It's totally meaningless because the COVID figures really weren't kicking in yet. April will be the biggest test of what the unemployment rate really is. There's a couple of things, if you can bear with me, to take into account here. What they also look at is what's called the participation rate, and that is how many people were physically working or were unemployed actually looking for work. And that is about 66% of the total possible number of people. So two-thirds only of those that can work are actually working or looking for work. So a third are not working and are not looking. What will happen is if potentially 400,000 people become unemployed in April, and because they've been told there's no work out there, you don't have to apply for work because of the way the system is at the moment, when they get their phone call, if they get their phone call from the government department and says, okay, were you looking for work in the last week? If they say no, they're not classed as unemployed. So what can happen is the unemployment rate can stay quite low, but the participation rate will drop significantly. And that's the other number we need to look at, the participation rate. Right. Because we can still keep unemployment at 5 or 6%, but if participation rate drops to 50%, that's more of a true reflection of numbers not going the right way. So it's that participation rate we look at. And the way the government calculates it is every month they make 50,000 random phone calls to anybody at all. And if you've worked for at least 1 hour in that week, you are classed as employed. If you haven't worked for an hour but are looking for work, you are classed as unemployed. So that's how they calculate the unemployment rate based on these 50,000 random calls, which is about 0.3% of the total population who are able to work. So it's a very, very small snapshot they take, which is not always reflective, but at least that they've used that system for years, so it is like for like they're comparing.
Sure.
But if you simply say, I'm not working and I am not looking for work, you are not treated as unemployed. And we're going to have a large increase in that number of people because at the moment, if you become unemployed, you don't have to be applying for jobs.
And there are no jobs to apply for a lot
correct.
Of people.
So therefore, this participation rate, I think, will drop dramatically, which may keep the unemployment rate lower than we're expecting. And people say, that's great, that's wonderful. But it's not a true reflection of what really is happening in the marketplace.
Okay, we'll bear that in mind. I'm talking to Graeme Wynn from Superior People Recruitment. He's our employment expert, and he's taking your calls for the next, call it 20 minutes. So give us a call on 133353 if you have a question for Graeme. He's ready and waiting. We've got Bruce in Brisbane. G'day, Bruce.
Hey guys, how are we going?
Good, thank you. Got a question for Graeme.
Yeah, it was more in regards to that job seeker payment. My wife is on a partner visa. She's from Japan. Now, due to this COVID-19 business, her work has closed up. So basically, there's no work for anyone. She's received a letter from her boss stating that, you know, situation has changed because of COVID-19. However, because she's on a partner visa, she's not eligible for any form of payment.
That's correct, yes. So she won't be able to get the job seeker allowance, no. No, definitely not. So people on visas can't get that job seeker allowance. If she'd been working somewhere for at least 12 months, her employer could apply for the job keeper payment if she'd been permanent. But yeah, as on that partner visa, the job seeker, she won't be able to qualify for that, no.
Yeah, so despite, I mean, we've applied for the permanent residency side of things.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's a bit of a kick in the teeth in a way. I'm still working full-time myself. My situation hasn't changed, which is very fortunate. But, yeah, I mean, we've paid nearly almost $8,000 for a visa. Plus, I mean, you know, she's been in the country for nearly 7 or 8 years, mate, paying tax. And it's just a bit, you know, it's a bit of a kick in the teeth when something like this happens and all that money that you've paid out, but then there's no, I guess, return.
Yeah, look, the people on visas, any types of visas, they're the ones certainly that have been left behind with all this. And those on working holiday visas, student visas, all those people being well and truly left behind. This is nothing for them at all. So they're really going to struggle. And that's why a lot of them are leaving the country, going back to the place where they came from, if they can. Your situation is different on a partner visa. But yeah, those on visas, there's just nothing for them at all on that job seeker side of things, unfortunately.
It's one thing to, you know, I mean, if you're not tied down to family here, I mean, we don't have kids. I mean, we've got a golden retriever. It's about as close as we've got at the moment. But, you know, it's not, I mean, returning for her is not really an option because we're very much, you know, rooted here. So.
Correct. As in your situation, they can't return back to where they came from. But yeah, it's just an unfortunate thing that the visa people are, yeah, there's just nothing for them at all. And I think the government just need to draw it. Basically, we need to draw a line in the sand somewhere to make this affordable for us. And that's where they've drawn their line. Visa people, unfortunately, no, nothing for them whatsoever. I'm sorry about that.
Well, it's a shame, Bruce. Does that change your plans at all? Or?
Look, we, you know, long term, I mean, I'm studying at the moment to be a teacher. I mean, long term, we were looking to move over to Japan. But I mean, for me now, I'm still working. I'm just out doing what I do and, you know, I guess bringing home the money for our family and doing the best I can. But I mean, yeah, I mean, situations can always change. But
I guess I can.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, she's not really to a point where she'd be like, no, I'm going to go home because of this. Our life is here for now.
But do you want to go there?
Oh, look, in the end, that's where we will. But I mean, it's just not a viable option at the moment. I want to finish my education. And I mean, we had a holiday scheduled to go there May 15th of next month. And
Did you get a refund?
I believe you can rebook within 12 months as long as you travel within 24 months. Play it day by day.
Well, I say follow your dreams. If you can get there, go, I say. You know, because look, you know, sometimes there's no tomorrow. Thanks for the call, Bruce. Let's go to George on the Central Coast. G'day, George.
G'day, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks, mate. Got a question for Graham?
I do, Graham. Mate, as of next week, been advised work's going to dry up. And my wife at the moment is on maternity leave, so she's on half pay. She doesn't, the remainder of that doesn't kick in for another, I think, 4 to 5 weeks, which then she'll get her annual leave with her maternity pay from work. She works for New South Wales Health.
Yep.
So I've applied for the job seeker payment, but I've got a mortgage, two cars, two kids, a newborn, 11-year-old.
Crikey.
I've managed to put the deferred the home loan, which is fine. That's all well, but obviously they've told me that I'm going to have to make up the repayments later on. Now, the only thing that I'm looking at the moment is because I've quite a high earner, in the role that I'm in. But then when my hours do drop back, then man, it's going to be nothing. Like, for example, I take home, I'd say, roughly $1,900 a week. As of next week, I'm gonna have no hours. So I do line haul work. So they said, look, mate, there's nothing there. We've got to give the permit. And I'm a casual, and I haven't been there for 12 months. I've only been there for 9 months. So the only thing I was thinking of and what I applied for was this ATO grant thing that I'm thinking, I really don't want to have to do this. I really don't want to have to release any of the money from the super, but I really don't want to fall behind on my home loan. And I can't have that because my father is actually a guarantor on this loan for us as well. So I don't want to jeopardize him. I know he was wanting to rebuild one of his properties and then obviously sell the one he's in now, and then him and mum go there and retire. So I kind of feel bad now that I'm going to be burdening him with this sort of thing. And I'm thinking, is this my only avenue, is to get some money out of that super and then just sort of put it into the home loan and just sort of chip away and just, you know, get the hours where I can get them. Mind you, I've been applying for jobs left, right, and centre. Like, I do not say no to anything. I don't care if I jump in a forklift. I don't care if I have to pick up a broom and sweep.
It's a good attitude right now.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's important.
And people do need to have that attitude because there are jobs out there, maybe a lot less than what you're used to and a lot less seniority, but there is work out there, certainly, if you've got the right attitude to do whatever needs doing. If that means stacking shelves at Coles or Aldi or whatever, there is some work still out there, and there's a lot of companies still recruiting, but people need to want to work. That's the thing. So the fact you are prepared to do anything is certainly helpful. I don't want to give financial advice. That's not my area. What I would say, though, with the banks deferring mortgages, which is great, and they're all doing that, it's wonderful. You're right. You do need to pay it back eventually. And the worry is that if you're out of work for 6, 7, 8 months and you defer your mortgage that long, when you do start working again, you've got so much to repay again, even that can get you in trouble. So it's really about how you manage this through this next period. And if, and I say to people, if you don't need to tap into your super, don't. But some people will have to tap into it. They've got no choice. Yeah. But you don't want to get yourself into such a state in 9, 10 months' time where you are working, but you're having to pay so much back to cover your mortgage you deferred that you're still in trouble. So I don't want to give financial advice. That's not my area. But it's definitely something you need to think about. Yeah. Deferring is fine.
And seek some financial advice that's independent. Mm. And yeah, tough call there, George. This is what so many families are having to deal with right now. Mm. Two hard place choices. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, George. We're talking with Graeme Wynn, who's our guest. He's our employment expert. You can discuss unemployment and dodgy bosses ripping off workers over coronavirus, whatever you want to talk about. He's here for you. 1-333-5. That was The Cars with Let's Go. We're talking to Graeme Wynn, our superior people recruitment employment expert, and he's asking, well, you can ask him questions. Give us a call on 1-333-53. Had a call from Wayne regarding just a call from George there, who called in from the Central Coast. He says, contact the company Polytech, an Australian distribution company on the Central Coast. They have lots of jobs available now. So if it's possible to get to there, there could be a job there for you. So check it out. Let's take a call now from Damien on the Central Coast. Hi, Damien.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. You got a question for Graeme?
Yeah, Graeme, I'm in the situation where my partner's a bit like the last caller who had a Japanese partner who couldn't get any assistance. My partner doesn't need assistance. She's got money in her bank account or in a bank account here, but I can't get any assistance because she's got too much money. Like,
lucky you, in a way.
In a way it is, but it's like, hey, I've got to pay my bills. Like, I can't rely on her to pay bills, you know what I mean? And I'm trying to pay my bills, but they won't give me a job start or job seeker or anything, you know?
So what's your normal job or occupation?
I had a business 12 months ago, which was a retail shop, which I had to close down because it just wasn't financially viable.
I see.
And I went online, and that has provided me with maybe $400 or $500 a week if I'm lucky.
What are you selling?
Less. Homebrew supplies, believe it or not. which has actually picked up in the last month.
I would have thought. I thought it'd be booming.
It really has. Yeah, it is going good, but then I don't have the stock because I've been slow. So,
and you've got to outlay some money for that too.
That's thousands of, tens of thousands of dollars. But anyway, that aside, it's like I can't get a job start because I haven't been earning any money. And my partner, who's foreign, who actually, you know, sold a house over there and moved here to be here with me and has $400,000 in the bank. Therefore,
you're the luckiest man in Australia, I think, by the sounds of this so
far. In a way, but she doesn't let me have it.
If you ask nicely.
No, I don't get it.
Nice position to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get to see it. It's not my money. You know, it's like, but I can't get it because she's got that money.
Yeah. Has she got a sister?
Just on that point, if I can, if you've still got your retail business trading online, so it's still operating as a business, and you've had a big drop from 12 months ago in your income, and it's your business that, you could actually apply for the JobKeeper payment.
I think that's it. Business. Oh, that's what I'm going through now.
Yeah, but JobKeeper you won't get, no. But JobKeeper, you should be able to get that because you've dropped by more than 30% from this time last year. So you should be able to apply for the JobKeeper payment.
You don't actually apply. You fill out your details and that's it. And then they keep you updated. What happens?
So basically, you've gone to the tax office website, you've put your details in.
Yep.
They will then contact you. They couldn't contact anybody until it got passed through legislation, which was done last Wednesday. So a lot of people were registering prior to then, but nothing could happen until actually officially went through as legislation, which it did last Wednesday. So now they're making all the phone calls to the businesses to find out exactly what their situation is, which is why the payments aren't starting until May, because they need a few weeks to contact the 700,000 people who've registered for this. There's a lot of people registered for it, and then they're backdating it to the end of March. So if your business is still trading and you can show a loss of income of more than 30%, then you can apply and should qualify for the JobKeeper payment. The JobSeeker payment, though, no, you won't be able to get that because of your partner's assets, but the JobKeeper payment you should be able to get.
Okay, because of her assets, I'm screwed there.
You're good on one level but screwed on another, I guess.
Yeah.
Like life, mostly.
Yes.
Thanks for the call there, Damien, and thank you for taking those calls there, Graham. I think we're out of calls at the minute, so thank you so much for your help with this. Leroy's got another question.
I just got my email from Centrelink just seconds ago, actually,
really?
Regarding my first report. Graham, what is the point of self-reporting when isn't Centrelink related to the ATO anyway?
Yeah, wouldn't they just link the automatically?
Accounts, what you get?
Unfortunately, not all the different departments talk to each other straight away. So self-reporting is why you need to do this, because the under certain privacy and legislation, they can't immediately access all the through Centrelink through the tax office. They're not linked together. So when you do your self-reporting, they're relying on you. Obviously, when you do your end of year tax returns and your group certificates, that's when the two things marry up.
Yeah.
But initially, no, you need to self-report because
so this
the two
is an honesty
don't
system,
talk to each other.
Leroy,
it
are you
is,
up?
Yeah.
Are you up to the, yeah. the task?
Of course, I'm a
law-abiding
citizen.
Yeah,
good. Every person's honest, aren't they?
Until they get caught. Mm. Yeah, beautiful. And thank you, Graham. It's been terrific. And thank you for all your...
I think we might have one more.
We have another question now. Damien is on the Central Coast. Hi, Damien.
Justin.
Is it Justin? Sorry, we just had Damien. Let's go to Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hey, you, mate. Just wanted to know, if I haven't been working for a few months and my industry hasn't really been affected by COVID-19, am I still eligible for the payments if I'm not working?
If you're not working, yes, you're eligible for payments, yes. It's nothing to do with the industry. It's whether you're working or not.
That's it. Perfect. Next one. Cheers, bye.
Okay, that was easy.
I like those questions, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Graham. You've been a great help in the 3 weeks that I've been doing this job. So terrific. Thank you so much. A lot of people, I think their minds are at rest having you there to answer the questions.
No problem.
And how can people contact you generally?
Straight to our website, which is superiorpeople.com.au. And I know from last week, the day after I got
dozens of emails from people with further questions. So happy to respond to those. So go to superiorpeople.com.au and the contact details are on there.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Graeme Wynn. That's Graeme Wynn from Superior People Recruitment. I guess he'll be back next week with Luke, but I won't be here. This is The Night Shift on Triple. We're gonna